give praise to the Lord tonight. Go ahead and clap your hands, but unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, he kandala mahosaya. He tora mahondala mahandariya. I consider it an honor tonight to minister in this place, and I thank you, Brother Garner. And I want to commend Brother Seagraves and Brother Garner for their leadership at Landmark Convention, which happens to be sponsored primarily by Christian Life College. And so this is a very special time for homecoming alumnus from throughout the years, as we thus celebrate and honor 50 years of ministry. And so thank you so very much, and I'm going to step right into the Word of God. Tonight, I feel it is important to cast vision. Where are we going? And what is going to happen in the process? I will tell you, without question, these are the greatest and most momentous days in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. You can believe that anything will happen in this final hour. In other words, expand your vision. Whatsoever you conceive, God is able to bring it to pass. The element of faith is not a prerogative, it is an imperative. Essential for the church to reach its destination in this final hour. Without question, we are living in the final moments of time. Christ's imminent return for His church, not to set up His kingdom, for His church, is at hand. That means He will split the clouds of glory, and the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. I said, shall be caught up. We're getting ready to leave this old world, church. But I believe that in these final moments of time, God has destined His church to perform that one final act. And that's what I want to preach about. We cannot have church as usual. I'm going to make that statement considerably tonight, redundantly. We cannot have church as usual. This is a special hour. I'm reading and inviting your attention to the third chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 7. I will read just about two or three verses here. You know that in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there are letters that are addressed to the angel or the pastor of those churches. And beginning with the church of Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira and Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, seven churches of Asia Minor. Seven levels of spirituality. Seven prophetical periods. And destinies of the church. In the final stage of the windup of the dispensation of the church age, we find two churches. The first is Philadelphia. I am a Philadelphian. Now, if you're a Laodicean, you will not shout when I say I am a Philadelphian. So I'm going to say it. I am a Philadelphian. Well, after hearing that, I would hate to be a Laodicean. But there are two churches that are portrayed here in the final thrust. Laodicea, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Jesus said, you're blind. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And then he finally said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's when they were having church without Jesus. We cannot have church without Jesus. He's the center of it. That's what church is all about. Jesus. I am a Philadelphian. Allow me to read. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept the word, my word, and hast not denied my name. Yes, I am one of them. Hallelujah. I'm worshiping with the people tonight that have not denied his name. We are the name people. That name is Jesus. I said it's Jesus. Come on, it's Jesus. Put your hands together and worship that one true eternal God. Halamahandariyala. Hallelujah. 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 Quickly allow, you do not have to turn in your Bibles. I want to read two other passages of Scripture. First, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, pertaining to the last days, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Questioning the promise. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, I will begin reading. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Tonight I want to preach to you for just a little while. I don't really have, I'm sorry, a message that is so homiletically outlined. But I do have a burden. And I'm going to preach from my heart this night on this subject. Because this is the air of time when God has pronosticated and willed that men and women should see visions, have dreams, and believe in the promise. Hallelujah. Promise, vision, and dreams. The hour of vision. Let's lift our voices and ask the Almighty to come down. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to come down and lay your mighty hand upon us tonight as a congregation. Anoint this preacher. He cannot preach without you. I need the unction of the Holy Ghost. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Praise God. Grant it in your wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. There's a hallowedness in this place tonight. Presence of the Lord. It's here. This is the most awesome moment in time. You are living precisely where God has ordained it. We are going to wind up the church age. It will culminate with the rapture. The rapture is not a word that's spelled out in the Bible, but rapture means catching out. And that is the church of Jesus. The trump shall sound. And I cannot tell you from reading this book that there is any one item that must take place before that trumpet sounds. I believe that as far as I understand, everything in this book has been fulfilled. But only God knows the moment. It's on His calendar. The angels cannot read that calendar. The devil has no idea what's on that calendar. There's not a man living on earth that can tell you the day, the hour that Jesus is going to come. But I can tell you one thing. I feel something in the air that says the church, hallelujah, the church is living on the precipice of the coming of the Lord. But I do believe that there are going to be mighty things that transpire in these short days set before us. I believe that we have vision and dreams and we have promise. And we cannot lose sight of promise or vision, even though the times may be rough. We must understand that the long duration between inception and conception and fruition or birth, there may be a journey between. In fact, in Matthew 16, if you read Matthew 16, which we preach from often, Jesus was with His disciples, and you've heard me preach on it, and you've heard countless preachers preach on it. And Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some of them responded and said, "Some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're a prophet that has come back, but they know not which one." And Jesus basically said, "I'm not concerned about what they're saying, but friends, tell me, who do you think that I am?" Hallelujah. The Lord is really not concerned about what the heathen are saying about Him tonight, but He is concerned about how the church feels about Him. And brother, I want you to know that I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that in which I have committed unto Him. This is our hour. I know His name. Hallelujah. There is a great deal today spoken about God, Father, Spirit. You could be an agnostic and believe in a spirit. You could be a New Ager and believe in some form of God, a green grass or a tree or something. And then you could be a heathen and believe in God. And you could believe in one God and be a heathen and not know His name. And when I see and listen to preachers, I understand the political ramifications of perhaps speaking the name of the one true eternal God, so they will use some of these terminologies. but they're politicians. We don't need politicians in the Church of the Living God. This is an hour. If there's anyone on the face of this earth that knows the name of the God, the one true God, I'm looking at a few of them tonight. His name. I said His name. It's Jesus. And beside Him, there is no other. We are the people of the name, and proud to be. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to speak for Jesus. I'm not ashamed to bear His name. I'm not ashamed to be baptized in that name. Preach in that name. Cast out devils in that name. That one name, glorious name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you can be seated. And I know we want to shout, and I love for you to shout, because I feel the inspiration and the vapor coming up from the pews tonight, the chairs. I feel it all over this building. But I got something I have to say to you. There's a journey. He went on to say, Simon Peter broke the stillness, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I will build my church," and we love to preach about the rock. And we know that that rock was not Peter. That rock was the absolute theology, the confession that He indeed was the Christ, the one true God. Upon this wonderful truth, I'm going to base my church, not on a pleurisy, not on a number, not on a triune sort of a concoction of gods, but on this profound truth of one true living God manifest, revealed. Hear the word, reveal. He revealed Himself in Father, in Son, in Holy Ghost. But He was one. Never was there three. It was always one. Come on, church. You know it was one. It's always been one. It is one, 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 one. One! I said it's one. And that name is Jesus. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can be seated. He went on to say that I'm going to give to you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I love it. I could preach on any of these tonight, and so could you. It's exciting to be a part of this church. And then he began to tell them of the miracles and the blessings. And then suddenly the subject changed. And he said, "Now I want to talk to you about what you're going to suffer. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to be abused, and I'm going to be rejected of men." And then he said, "I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die." And listen, that was not in the cards. It was not in the game. That was not part of this great revelation. All they could see, as they were Jews, even His disciples were Jews, they could understand the literal kingdom, the prophetical utterances of the Hebrew prophets relative to the millennial age. And they anticipated and believed that He was going to set up His kingdom now and then, and that He would break the Roman taskmasters' backs and liberate them and set up His kingdom upon earth, and the whole earth would worship Him. That was why the mother of the sons of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, came to Jesus and said, when you come into your kingdom, I want one of my sons sitting on your left side and one on your right side. They were thinking kingdom, kingdom, kingdom now. But Jesus is telling them, my kingdom is really not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom. And you really don't understand. It got so bad at that point that Simon Peter, the one that had just spoke so profoundly and so prophetically about him being the Christ, the Son of the living God, is now rebuking him and saying, Lord, it is not like you. What really was happening, Peter's little playhouse was getting messed up. He didn't want all that suffering. He was looking for something wonderful and great. But it was a long journey between his coming and the understanding and all the suffering. And I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. Between the time of inception of vision, you got to have vision. Solomon said, where there is no vision, the people perish. The church has got to have vision today. If you lose vision, you're lost. If you have no dreams, you're lost. If you're without promise, you're lost. We've got to have vision and we've got to have promise. And right now, by the eye of faith, I see thousands and hundreds of thousands. This is a night, I'm going to tell you, the church needs to become radical. I said the church needs to become radical. We cannot have church as usual. I feel like I hit a little rebuff there. I got to say it again. You got to become radical. Radical. Fanatical. Radical. Fanatical. It's Jesus. Radical. Fanatical. Radical. Fanatical. Come on now. Hallelujah. God wants to do an awesome thing. But the journey, there's going to be, we can shout on the vision. But between vision, we'll ask Joseph about. He had dreams. His sheep stood up. 11 sheep bowed down. He had the audacity to tell his brother. They didn't like it. So they said, who's he think he is? Then he had another vision, dream. The sun and the moon and 11 stars paid homage. Respect. He told his father, and his daddy rebuked him. But he was a young boy in his Ephesus that was excited about a vision. He was excited about a dream. He was so excited he didn't care who he told it to. He just couldn't keep it to himself. Some of us need to get a vision and get a hold of that radical spirit that'll open our mouths. Quit trying to act like everybody else and be an apostolic. We're not patterning ourselves after anybody. We are God's children, ordained for this hour. And so, vision. Joseph had no idea when he received his vision as a 17-year-old boy, Brother Stone King. The journey between vision and becoming governor of Egypt. He could not see the lies and the hatred of his brethren. The pit was not in the plan. Being sold out to the caravan headed for Egypt was not part of his plan. Going down to Egypt as a slave in chains was not in the cards either. And then when he arrived, being standing on an auction block and being auctioned off as an animal was not part of the plan. God's had his people. We've been on a journey. We had a vision. And God gave us a vision. And that vision is just as real tonight as it has ever been. And some of you have lost your vision because the pit was not part of your plan. The lies that have been told upon you was not in the plan. You never expected to be sold out. And then when you finally found a place you could call home in Potiphar's house, and you rose to a little prominence and a little acknowledgement and thought, I'm coming out. And suddenly you were lied on. And you ended up in the jailhouse. And let me just tell you about Joseph. He lost two coats. One his brethren stole from him and dipped it in blood. And another one Potiphar's wife stole from him. But he never lost his vision. I said he never lost his vision. You may lose your coat along the way and lose something, but hold on to your vision. Don't let the devil rob you, brother, in the balcony. Don't let the devil rob you. Hold on to your vision. Fight the fight of faith. We have a vision. This is our hour. It's a long journey. But hold on to the vision. Lest time gets away from me, allow me tonight to share this with you. If you turn to the Gospel of John, don't do it. Just listen to me. But chapters 14 and chapters 15 and chapter 16, Christ is talking to his disciples and is explaining, giving explanation regarding to his ascension and his departure. But he is promising them that I will not leave you comfortless nor forsake you. That I am now with you. Hear me. Listen close. But I'm going to be in you. I now walk with you. But I shall ascend and go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. But I will not leave you. I'm going to send back a comforter. Come on, comforter. I'm going to send back my spirit. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Said, I'm going to send back a comforter. At one point, he says, I will send back the Spirit of truth. He said, I will send back the Spirit that will guide you into all truth and will illuminate your path. This Spirit is going to reveal to you the absolute truth of my word. Chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16 talks about the coming of the Holy Ghost and the purpose of the Holy Ghost. I read to you tonight from the second chapter of the book of Acts, where the Apostle Peter referred to the writings and the prophetical utterances of the prophet Joel, also found in the book of Joel, who said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit. What kind of a spirit? The spirit of truth. The Spirit that will guide and lead into all truth. Listen, I know that since the day that the church was born on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, though it diminished in expression and receptivity of the Holy Ghost, God has always had a church. Intermittently down through the ages, you will find glimmers of the Holy Spirit ascending upon men. His Spirit has never left the earth. But tonight I'm talking more specifically about the latter rain. Not the former rain, but the latter rain. That latter rain is upon us tonight. I'm not talking about something that happened in the 40s. I'm talking about something that happened on the day of Pentecost. The latter rain. The latter rain. It is falling today. And don't let anybody tell you that God ever removed the Holy Ghost from this world. He's always had a witness. He's always had a church. He's always had a witness. But He's going to do a great thing in this final hour. He's going to do a marvelous thing in this final hour. And so, effectively, we look to 1901 and we say in a little school, Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, God poured out His Spirit upon those students there. And they spoke with other tongues. 1906, Azusa Street come into play. But for one century, hear me, one century, this wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost that Joel spoke of. When he said, in the last day saith God, I will pour out My Spirit upon, one translation says, all nationalities, all flesh, all nationalities, upon every nation and every tribe and every tongue. And for some of you folks that are prejudiced tonight, I want you to know that my God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. On the Asians, on the African Americans, on the Latins. God is doing an awesome work. This is our hour. Please be seated. Please be seated. And God is doing a great thing while I'm talking about it. We need to become so obsessed with reaching the lost that our church houses are being filled daily. Whatever happened to old-fashioned bus ministry? Did we get too good for it? To go out in the highways and the byways and bring them in? We don't want to bring them in from the ghettos anymore, from the lower class of town, because we built two fancy buildings now. We have nice churches. I know I'm insulting some of you, but I could care less. If your church house if your carpet is too nice, if your pews are too beautiful to sit upon by the grimy sinners that are lost so they can hear the Word of God, you just got too far along the way, Laodiceans. What you need to understand, this is God's hour for the Philadelphia church. I have set before you an open door, an open door. It's our hour. Go ahead, be seated. I'm casting a vision tonight to the United Pentecostal Church and all apostolics, all oneness people. It's time. We cannot have church as usual. I said we cannot have church as usual. Something has to change. We've shouted, we've talked in tongues, we've run aisles and thought we were doing God a favor. But that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is reaching the sinner, the lost man, the man that is without Christ. That's what it's all about. I'm telling you, we're going to have to do things different than we've ever done it before. This is a brand new day. And church, you cannot play church any longer. 100 years since 1901, century of the outpouring of the Spirit. It has jumped over denominational walls. And some of you have been guilty of saying they really didn't get it. Who are you? You didn't give it to them. You don't own it. You didn't buy it. If Jesus wants to slip over a wall and fill some Orthodox. I've lost some of you. I don't have a problem with it. If he wants to slip over a convent wall and fill a bunch of monks with the Holy Ghost and a few nuns with the Holy Ghost, I'm saying, God, do it. You got to understand. This is what you have to understand. You have to understand the purpose. Sit down. You have to understand the purpose of the Holy Ghost. If revelation is to come, it must be preceded by its forerunner. And the forerunner to revelation is the Spirit of truth. Oh, yes. And the reason he slips over to, well, look, they're in heresy, they're in false doctrine. He's wanting to lead them out. They're blind to truth. He's wanting to show the light. And so we're sitting here pointing fingers and saying, God, what'd you do that for? God, why'd you do that? Do not you understand why he sent his Spirit of truth into the world to reveal who he is, that he is the mighty God? That he is the everlasting Father, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is the one true God, and that all must be done in Jesus' name, baptized in his name. Come on, put your hands together. Shout a little bit tonight. God is doing an awesome thing. Hear me out. If you think you own this, you're just like the Jews in Jerusalem. They were astounded when the Holy Ghost fell upon the Gentiles. But the Holy Ghost, please understand, is to lead, to guide into all truth. According to Life magazine, for the last 100 years, right in the middle of it, 67 I believe, in the most outstanding events that transpired in the past century, in the middle, right in the middle, is Pentecost. And the estimation is over 500 million in the world speak with tongues. I didn't ask you to believe it, to dissect it, but if you have any brains in your skull, you better understand that this work is orchestrated of Almighty God. Just go ahead and sit there and pout. I couldn't care. I don't want it to bother me. I want to tell you what God's doing. I want to tell you about the Holy Ghost. It's a forerunner. He's getting ready to do a thing. This is our hour. This is our day. Revelation's coming. I said it's coming. I mean, even you folks in the balcony ought to be on your feet shouting and clapping your hands. Everybody ought to be on their feet. This is the hour of revelation. This is the day. Hallelujah. 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 All right. You can be seated for just a few moments. I believe it's the greatest hour of our time. The wave that is coming. I said the next wave that is coming is the wave of revelation. It's a wave of revelation. And here's what he said to you. He said, you got a little strength. Come on, Philadelphians. He said, you have kept the word of my patience. How many of you feel that you're one of those that have kept the word of His patience? But I like the next statement. And you have not denied my name. You have not denied my name. You have not denied my name. I'm going to tell you, when others were throwing in the towel and said, well, they're talking in tongues and they're casting out devils and they're healing the sick and they don't preach in His name or baptize in His name. Maybe we just are a little too fanatical and radical. No, sir, my friend. The Philadelphia church is a catalyst for this final hour. God has allowed this church to remain strong and solid. They're not looking. I'm going to tell you about this world. They're not looking for a bunch of weak-kneed, insipid, so-called charismatic Pentecostals. They're looking for men and women that believe in something. That when they come to God, they preach a change into life. The old life has passed away. And He's given you a new life. That's what I'm talking about. It's our day. This is not a day to back up. To let down. This is an hour to strong. Stand strong for the truth. Mark it down. If you're writing your Bible, go ahead. You just are beginning to see the most awesome wave of revelation that has ever happened in the world. We're going to see entire congregations baptized in Jesus' name. There are going to be entire organizations in this world. I cannot tell you everything, but brother, if you were here last night, Brother Howe shared with you some of the things that are happening. This is our day. I have placed in motion a commission of men that they have one duty and one duty only. And when I give a commission to a group of men, I don't want them to be vacillating between different agendas. Just work on one thing. Then I'll get another commission to do that other thing. But this commission is for one cause only. It's the Revelation of Truth Commission. They are to publish. They are to contact every group in this world that has not yet understood this wonderful truth of the mighty God in Christ and the baptismal formula in the name of Jesus. And whatever it takes, they are to introduce it to this group. They are to bring truth without question to them. Whatever it takes, it must happen because God is with us. And for 100 years, the Spirit of Truth that will guide and lead into all truth has been at work in this world. And now it's time for the church. It's time for the church to get ready to go. You better get your baptismal waters ready. That's right. You better get ready. This is our hour. This is our hour. I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled about it. Before our general board, just 3 weeks ago, one of our brethren brought two men, ministers, pastors from the United Methodist Church. Both had received the Holy Ghost. Both had been baptized in Jesus' name. Both had filled out credential or applications. They want to be a part of the fellowship. Now let me tell you something. Hear it clear. I am not so concerned. And yes, we would like this. But I'm not so concerned about all these hundreds of thousands that I believe are coming to this revelation of preachers, ministers, pastors coming, joining up with the United Pentecostal Church International. That's well and good. But I am concerned about revelation. I am concerned that they come to truth and to knowledge. And if we will make that our primary concern, you see, I happen to believe that the true church of the living God is a lot bigger than one little denomination. God is doing a great work. God is doing an awesome thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the reason I said some of those things, it's happening. Both of those, and Dr. Clark stood before us about 43 years of age and said, Brother Haney, he addressed me because we have met before. He said, Brother Haney, I want to tell you something. United Pentecostal Church, don't ever change. We are coming. He said, listen to this. There are 2,500 and more pastors of the United Methodist Church that have already received the Holy Ghost. And he said, let me say, we've been talking to them about baptism in Jesus' name. And they're looking with open hearts and open minds toward it. They know that the denomination that they're a part of is the mainline that frowns on emotionalism in the church, that does not believe in the practice of tongues in the church. But it's so dead, they're losing thousands of members that are walking out of their buildings, that these men are desperate for revitalization. And the only thing that seems to work is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And they're hungry. They're getting ready to come. It's just the tip of the iceberg. But I must warn you about something. Go ahead. I warned the preachers, I believe last week, because of the times, I said, you can shout about it, but when they start coming in your organization, you're going to act, some of you, like spoiled little babies that you pastor, that's going to say, what's going on in this church? I can't even sit in my regular pew. I can hear some of you UPC pastors, where are all these people coming from? We're getting too many in this movement. I want to explain to you tonight so you understand, when Christ came and died on Calvary, He died for the world. When He poured out His Spirit on Pentecost, He poured it out on the world. He will reveal Himself to the world. It didn't matter if it's a Catholic priest, a Methodist preacher, a Presbyterian preacher, any kind of a preacher. God has come to reveal Himself in truth. I know you say, that's too far out, that's too radical for me. You better fasten your seatbelt, sir. And if it's too radical for you, you better head for the prayer room and pray through. It doesn't matter to me if you're ordained. I appreciate the fact that you are. But if you're pouting over what God's doing for others because you're an ordained minister of the United Pentecostal Church, you need a revival in your soul. This is our hour. This is our day. Get ready for the work of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of truth is coming on the world. Hallelujah. I want you to do something right now. I want you to just reach over. Get somebody by the hand. No, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stand. And when we stand in this auditorium, it doesn't mean it's a bathroom break. Some of you people need to get your kidneys before you come to church. I've been wanting to say that for 3 nights. I want you to just reach across the aisles and up there too. Joining hands. Got to get a little current in the building here tonight. Come on, up there. There's an aisle there. Where, just reach across. That's it. All up there. All up in the balcony. Come on. Come on. Get the current going. All the way up the balcony. Reach across the aisles. Reach across the aisle. Good. All over. Everywhere. Everybody's got to connect. 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 God is getting ready to do an awesome thing. Let's let Him loose tonight. Let the Holy Ghost loose. Let the Spirit of truth work. He kanoya lava hasati arabahanda. He ola mahaya lava hotiara. Come on, church. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. Truth, 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 truth. Lift your voice! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Ooh.